Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Excuse me. Gross. It is hour number two of the program.
Y'all right there?
Hanging no, in there? I'm not. I'm actually not. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you in hour number two. Big Chiefs news on a trade today. The IHOP hotline's back open for your reactions to it at 869-1240. Celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House faves. All your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. It is Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Thank you to all those who celebrate. Making my way through the rotation of Hawaiian shirts. Got a really old one here. Classic, we'll call it. It's good. And, you know, you can see it on the video stream. You can, as you just heard me come out onto the air, unfortunately on the video stream, maybe also see me mute and hack a few times. Tommy, I didn't fall asleep until about 4 a.m. Last night because of a stupid little cough. I'm telling you, I'm no doctor, but since the first time I had COVID way back when, anytime I get anything, whether it's like allergies, a cold, anything, I will get this little catch cough now, and it is impossible to clear. And so, like when we came back, obviously didn't get the job done, and that's what I've been dealing with. So, yay, it's so fun. So sorry if I sound like a prepubescent, you know, teenager.
I was a little bit surprised because I was up really early this morning. I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. I was up at like, I don't know, 4:45, something like that, and just was up for the entire morning. Right as you were falling asleep, I texted you the DeAndre Hopkins news when it broke. I mean, it broke before 6 a.m. It was like 5:45 when that news broke. And I texted it to you. You know, typically you're up around that time. And so I didn't hear from you for a while and I was concerned about you. Turns out you know, were sleeping.
All the way till about 7:05 and when I got to get the kids ready for school. So, so, you know, forgive that I look like a zombie on the video stream this morning, but at least I'm a zombie, you know, in a Hawaiian shirt.
You're a Hawaiian zombie.
Ready to a Hawaiian zombie. That's right. So the DeAndre Hopkins news comes down. Love the trade. Love the move. Love that the Chiefs did something. You sent me something and, you know, there's a belief Hollywood Brown would be back in time for the postseason. That's what all of this is about. It's all about the postseason. To me, it's all about what we're seeing from the Ravens. It's all about the fact that Buffalo did go get a little bit better with Amari. Well, they probably got a lot better, quite frankly, with Amari Cooper. It's about seeing it's about the Steelers going to Russell Wilson and everybody saying, whoa, hang on a minute. Like, that looked really impressive. Like, all of those things piled in with the Chiefs, all the injuries they've had. And yeah, they just, it didn't make a lot of sense for them to just sit still. Why would you, right? You can get somebody for a cost that's not going to hurt you this year or that much next year. And so that's what they do. I think what's really interesting to me, though, is you see the rumors yesterday happening about Cooper Kupp. And even if they had found a way to make it work financially this year, next year, you'd owe them a bunch of money. If there was ever a year for them to go big and get a guy like Cooper Kupp, who stylistically would be about perfect, quite frankly, this would be the year, but they're not going to do it. The Chiefs are not going to devote a large portion of their salary cap over a large period of time to the wide receiver position. Period. They just are not going to do that, at least not right now, not in this version or iteration of it. And so I think what that tells me is don't fear the patchwork approach that they've taken. there's a very good chance that when Rashee Rice becomes a free agent, if he continues on the path of his early career, Tommy, that the Chiefs are going to watch him walk away. And they're just going to keep reloading at wide receiver. Now, that could all change as Travis Kelce gets older and, you know, they could change that philosophy. But they're far more concerned about other positions. And I thought the Cooper Kupp situation told us that as much as the Tyreek Hill situation told us that a while ago, as much as they never get involved on long-term receiver deals in these off-seasons. We're just seeing them repeat the same pattern. They're not going to devote. If they were going to do that, they would have kept Tyreek
Hill. Yeah. You know, the number one reason why the DeAndre Hopkins trade even materialized and, you know, it looks like it will be finalized and all done is because the Titans were willing to take on a majority of DeAndre Hopkins' right. contract. That's the reason why. The Chiefs don't have the cap room. So even if they wanted to, even if they wanted to spend money on a wide receiver, they don't have the capability of doing that without making a bunch of contracts restructured and that sort of thing. You could always do that. And there are players. I know Patrick Mahomes has been willing to do that over the years. Travis Kelce has done that. Like, players are willing to restructure their contracts to make things like that work. But it does require a lot of effort, you know, to get that going and moving parts and agreement from multiple parties and all of that. DeAndre Hopkins came to Kansas City because the Titans were willing to eat a portion of the contract. The Rams were not willing to eat a portion or a large part of Cooper Kupp's contract. Their contracts are different because DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent after this season. Cooper Kupp is not. He's got two more years on his deal. The Chiefs aren't going to spend a lot of money. I don't care if we're talking about Hopkins or Kupp on a wide receiver who is over the age of 30 that they have to spend a bunch of money on. Cooper Kupp is 31. DeAndre Hopkins is 32. Both of them have dealt with their respective injuries over the course of their careers. Both of them are probably not at their prime like they were a few years ago. The difference between the two is simply that the Titans were able to take on the contract and they were willing to do that and the Rams were not. So, yeah, this is absolutely a situation where the Chiefs are not willing to overpay. They're not willing to and they're not able to, frankly, take on the cost of a wide receiver because they have other priorities that they need to spend their money on.
Absolutely. And the Rams would have eaten the money probably this year if it would have got them a first or second round pick back. But they wouldn't have done it next year, right? I don't even think they're allowed to do that, by the way. I don't think, and I guess they could have restructured it somehow. But it is just telling that the Chiefs, look, they're far more concerned about other things with their salary cap space than they are wide receiver. We should all be fine with that, by the way. They've won two Super Bowls that way. They watched Tyreek Hill walk away and then won two Super Bowls. They have the ability to do that. They've reinvented themselves. And I think it's the right way to do it. You know, it may change, though, when Travis Kelce's not there. I would say that, too. Like, if Travis Kelce's not there, maybe that philosophy changes a little bit, and that's okay, too. But right now, while you have Travis Kelce there, and we all just sort of look and watch Travis Kelce block and do the things, and you're just like, okay, we'll just talk, you know, wake me up for him when the postseason comes around. How do you get there? By the way, they've been playing football. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball even more if Pacheco comes back. I'm telling you, they're going to run the ball 30, 35 times a game when Pacheco is back, if he's back with Kareem Hunt, and they're both fully ready to go. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to keep playing the same brand of football on steroids. We have to see what happens now with Jalen Watson out. That is significant, maybe as significant as any injury that's happened. And I know the young guys stepped up and had, what, two interceptions after he was hurt. We got to see that. Because if the defense wavers at all, you're going to need more out of that position than what they've had. But if they can fill that hole, I think, Tommy, then it's all about what happens when you get to the postseason. Everything they're doing now, the good fortune of the ball bouncing your way in these games and being 6-0 and having three games in hand essentially against the Ravens, is you can right now just say, and I know the Chiefs will say one game at a time and all that, and I do believe that they believe that, but Brett Veach doesn't need to worry. Brett Veach needs to be worried about what happens in the postseason, and that's his job, and that's what he's doing here. And great, if Hollywood Brown comes back, awesome. You know, by that point, if Xavier Worthy's not a bigger factor, then he will have probably, I don't want to call it a bust, we would have had a disappointing rookie year if he's not contributing more at that point. Now you can do things you haven't been able to do thus far this season. It's a good. It's why the Chiefs needed to make a move.
Don't forget,
because they're doing these things now.
Don't forget, they're also 6-0, so they've got a little bit of a cushion. And honestly, like, this is, again, I mean, it plays into it in a large way, because they're putting a team together for the postseason, to your point, like you mentioned just a few minutes ago. The priority is having the weapons that this team needs, especially offensively, to make a postseason run. You take a look at the Ravens, okay? So I think the Chiefs were, it was advantageous for the Chiefs to take on the Ravens in week one, because the Ravens had not yet, they weren't clicking on all fronts in week one, right? They're clicking on all fronts now. If you watched them on Monday Night Football just a couple of nights ago.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Other than Patrick Mahomes, they are. Yeah. Like, he's not, I wouldn't say he's clicking on all fronts. He's throwing too many interceptions.
I'm not talking about the Chiefs. I'm talking about the Ravens. The Ravens were not clicking. The Ravens were not clicking on all cylinders in week one when the Chiefs faced them and they beat them. The Ravens are absolutely clicking on all cylinders now. If you watched them on Monday Night Football the other night, Lamar went crazy. Derrick Henry has ran the ball great over the last few weeks. Like, they have come alive big time. I'm not suggesting that right now, if you put those two teams up against each other this weekend, for instance, that the Chiefs would automatically lose the game. That's not what I'm suggesting, because the defense is great for Kansas City, all of that. But I think it'd be more difficult. Absolutely, it'd be tougher for Kansas City to get the win this week against a team like Baltimore than it was in week one for them to win. So they're stockpiling these weapons for a postseason run, knowing that there's a good likelihood that they'll face Baltimore again in an AFC championship game. And then knowing that the Bills went out and acquired Amari Cooper, and like all of these other things happening, the Chiefs are trying to keep pace. Don't be surprised, though. I don't think it's going to be a repeat of a season ago where they went on that long losing streak and things were not good for Kansas City. But don't be surprised if it takes a little bit of time as they experiment and try to figure out the best version of themselves offensively with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins. And then when Isaiah Pacheco comes back, figuring out that, you know, distribution between Hunt and Pacheco and what the running game looks like and the balance between run and pass and all of that, that might take a little bit of experimentation. But as long as it gets you ready to go for the postseason and you are the best version of yourself, both in execution and in health, that's exactly what they're planting the seeds for right now to get ready for that in January.
I think there are several things we should be watching. The Ravens are the most important. The Ravens weren't clicking on all the cylinders against the Chiefs, largely because the Chiefs stopped the run.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is what they do. And so there's some of that that wasn't all on the Ravens. That was the Chiefs making the Ravens uncomfortable. When if you look at the schedule right now, the Chiefs have three games in hand on the Ravens. And that's if the Ravens – so the Chiefs would have to lose four games at this point to lose their position over the Ravens. And that's if the Ravens won every single game the rest of the way. They still have divisional games coming up against Cincinnati, against Pittsburgh. I would say it's unlikely the Ravens win every game between now and the end of the season. So now you probably have five games in hand. Are the Chiefs going to lose five games the rest of the way? Very unlikely. Okay, so that's the good news with the Ravens. If you play the Ravens in the postseason, it's almost certainly going to happen at Arrowhead Stadium. I think we need to pay attention to the Bills, who can run the ball like crazy and who just added Amari Cooper and have good tight ends. I think the Bills are a real, real threat. I think you have to pay attention to the Steelers. If Russell Wilson can be an efficient quarterback with the way they can play defense, that's a team to watch in the AFC. I think you start there right now in the AFC, and of course Houston, who Houston's the hardest one for me to predict as far as a matchup with the Chiefs. But I think those are the teams you've got to watch right now, and just make sure, if you're Brett Veach, that when you inevitably play some combination of those teams, that you're in a position to match up well / beat those teams. Your defense will allow you to match up with anybody, just like it did last year in the postseason. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in the postseason will allow you to match up with anybody, just like it did last season. But I would tell you right now that the Ravens are better than they were last season when you played them in the AFC Championship game. The Texans are better than they were in their Cinderella season a year ago. The Steelers are better, no matter who their quarterback is, than they were a year ago. So the Chiefs just have to make sure they are too. And on paper coming into this season, they absolutely were. Then the injuries happen. And I think it's silly to just not acknowledge that the roster has been depleted by those injuries. And that's why I think when you come into this with Hopkins, why they needed to make a move. It's why I'm glad they did make a move. I don't know what Hopkins does in the near future. I mean, I care, but it's not going to, it's more about what Hopkins can do for them in December and January than it is in November.
Yeah. There's a very fine line between contentment and complacency, very fine line between both of those things. And I was of the opinion that despite the injuries, the Chiefs were content with their roster in the thought that Pacheco should be returning, maybe Hollywood Brown by the postseason. And I sort of equated that to they're content. They're content with the guys that they've got.
Yeah.
They're 6-0. They found a different way to play. They've leaned on Spags in their defense to great success. It was great bringing Kareem Hunt back. That's been a good move, at least through the first few weeks that he's been with the team. I felt like they were content with what they had. I think that Brett Veach, clearly, and again, I was wrong about this, I think Brett Veach was concerned that if nothing happened, that would very quickly turn from contentment to complacency. And they were going to sit back, rest on the who they've got in the room right now and just say, we're going to call it good and cross our fingers that we can get these guys back and they'll be impact players and we don't lose anybody else. And, so credit to him that he wasn't willing to just like rest on
and
that and go out and be aggressive in that regard. Because I do think that while maybe I interpreted it as contentment, I'm sure a lot of others in the fan base were concerned that it was getting into complacency territory.
Oh, I definitely did. I didn't think that's not fair because I've always thought Brett Veach was going to do something or at least there was a good chance he would. But what I didn't want to see was complacency because I don't think they can afford the complacency. Nor do I think they need to. They just don't need to. Why would you if you don't have to? Like, you can go get just about anybody and improve the wide receiver roster that's going to be out there against the Raiders this weekend, right? So why not do it? And it was that simple. Like, if everybody else is doing things to get better, you should probably do things to get better. And they have been. The Kareem Hunt was a very savvy move. Now, obviously, he has been a huge key for them, and if they didn't have him, Carson Steele, as much as I like Carson Steele, they're not 6-0 if they don't get Kareem Hunt. How about that? We'll just put it that quite that simple. If it was just Carson Steele and Samaje Perine, wasn't going to be enough. So they add Samaje Perine, they add Kareem Hunt, they added Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, they've been making moves right and left. Why would they get complacent now when at every turn this season, they have been reactive to the injuries that have happened? They traded for Perine. They traded for Juju. They added Kareem Hunt. They've already redone this roster so many times. Why would you stop? And that's why I would say, too, don't be surprised if they're not done either. There may be another deal to be made for them. There may be another pick swap kind of trade that they can go make. Now, I don't know about the salary cap because, you got to have somebody's appetite to do that. But I mean, I'm not going to be mad if they go trade a 6th-round pick for DeMarcus Robinson at this point. Why not? You know what I mean? So don't think they're done either, because again, they've only played 6 games. Who's to say that the receivers now with DeAndre Hopkins in the room, somebody else doesn't get hurt? Because they probably will. And who knows how long Juju Smith-Schuster's out with a soft tissue injury. So I don't know that they're necessarily done either. And they've got some time to look at it. And they're not going to lose to the Raiders, I don't think. And they're probably not going to lose to the Buccaneers if they don't have Mike Evans back and without the Godwin and all these things. And they can. They probably won't. And so, they've got some time to really evaluate things.
Yeah, by the way, multiple reports are suggesting, like Diana Russini's reporting it, James Palmer reporting it, that the Chiefs are getting DeAndre Hopkins going as soon as he lands in Kansas City today.
Yeah.
The plan is to have him ready to go for the game this Sunday against the Raiders. Now, who knows what that'll look like, at least from a betting perspective or a fantasy perspective. I'd be careful with that, because there's not a long runway to get him ready. It's already Wednesday. But at least to maybe try to get him worked in a little bit, I think would be advantageous for the Chiefs, just because like you're playing a team like the Raiders, who Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy. Like that's a team in free fall, and it has been for a minute now, and they don't have Devontae Adams anymore. So getting some reps in for Hopkins, I think this is a good time to do it. But I wouldn't expect a ton from him this weekend.
Even if he's been there for 2 weeks, I wouldn't. But here's my read on this Chiefs Raiders game. I'll give you my read on it right now. The Chiefs are going to run the crap out of the ball for a couple reasons. One, because they're depleted at wide receiver and Hopkins hadn't had enough time. You think they really want to drop Patrick Mahomes back a bunch of times against Max Crosby? Because I don't.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, they don't have any interest. They have no interest in doing that. They shouldn't have any interest in doing that. They should ugly this game up, try to suffocate them defensively, and run the ball like crazy. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I would be surprised if Patrick Mahomes is ever in the pocket for more than a second and a half. Like if I'm the Chiefs and I'm thinking about the postseason right now, I have no interest whatsoever in a game that I should be able to do whatever I want to a team like the Raiders, and having Max Crosby do something that derails our set. No chance. No chance. That's what I think happens this weekend. So, yes, to your point, I'm not playing DeAndre Hopkins this week in fantasy, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to drop back that much.
Well,
I don't think they have any interest in doing that.
All you have to do is go back to the Niners game, and just with everything that Nick Bosa was doing and being disruptive, Mahomes never had a clean pocket, like hardly at all. No. Never had time for things to develop. And he was, to his credit, he was either scrambling and those runs were fantastic, or he was getting the ball out very quickly. Now, it wasn't super effective, but he was releasing the ball a lot quicker than I think we're typically used to seeing Mahomes have there in the pocket. And so if he does drop back, I mean, Max Crosby is disruptive as well. So I would anticipate more of that when he does drop back. It's going to be probably quick passes. And honestly, I think that's an area where Hopkins can come in and have some success. Run some slants, like, you know, some quick hits, like things like that. That's a really easy way to get him ramped up.
The Chiefs will play to protect Mahomes this week unless they're forced into it. Mahomes had the big runs because they needed the big runs because it was the 49ers. In an ideal world, you don't need any of that. You just control the pace. You stop Brock Bowers. You stop the Raiders offense. I mean, and that's been hard to do. He's maybe having the best rookie season we've ever seen from a tight end. Stop him. You stop the Raiders offense. They don't have Devontae Adams. They don't dominate the game in the line of scrimmage and see you next week. That would be, but we'll get into that. I'll get PJ Glasser's read on that tomorrow, our betting insider. I mean, it is a low total for a Chiefs at 41.5. I don't think I could take the over there. I don't know if I'm taking the under, but that's a low total. I think that tells you that even Vegas predicts that type of game coming this weekend against the Raiders. All right, we're going to take a quick break. So the Chiefs make this move. What does that mean? I want to know, like, if Tommy thinks what you guys think. So now the ball is in whose court? Among the contenders for a Super Bowl, we've seen a lot of teams get better at the deadline. Who's next? What team is now the most desperate to do something to get better? We'll talk about that next on Sports Daily.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Fall at Crestview Country Club. Still golfing, of course, and lots of tennis events this fall, like glow-in-the-dark triples. It's a one-time-per-year special event for the Halloween season that you don't want to miss. The indoor courts get blacked out. The tennis court and net will be illuminated with a black light. High-energy, fast-paced event. I'll have you getting a great workout in while having fun playing triples. A team of three or four taking on other teams and rotating after every point. There'll be votes for best costume, prizes available for first and second place. They'll have the music going on the court. Drinks will be available a la carte. So a great Halloween event if you're a tennis player. Just one of many great events going on at Crestview Country Club. Give them a call. Check them out. Check all the great different memberships there at the club.
Hey, that's one thing that we really haven't spent a bunch of time talking about with Crestview is tennis. And I know your wife is a tennis player. Is she doing this event? Will she be partaking in that?
Good question. What day is it? We may be out of town. We'll have to look at the date. We leave like right after Halloween. So if it's the following weekend, we may not be here. But she is playing tennis. She just like squeezes it in. Because she, you know, works at the stores and does all that stuff. But she's out there all the dang time. She's made a lot of really good friends through tennis, too, which has been kind of cool. Tommy, I asked this before the break. So we've seen the Bills make their move. We've seen the Jets make a significant move. We've seen the Steelers make a change, we'll call it. They didn't make a move, but they made a change that could make them a lot better. Who do you think now, and of course the Chiefs just make theirs, who do you think has the most pressure as it sure sounds like the Rams want to trade Cooper Kupp and all these things are out there. What team do you think needs to do something the most of the teams that really have a chance to win a Super Bowl? I don't think that the Rams are going to trade Cooper Kupp to the 49ers. Yeah, that would actually make some sense to me. Maybe the Bucks go and try to make a move like that. Baker Mayfield spent some time with the Rams, likely has some familiarity with Cooper Kupp. The Lions probably could use a guy like Cooper Kupp. Like, who's going to make the move and at what position do you think it is of the contenders if we see another blockbuster? Because the way it's going, I would guess that we probably will.
Yeah, I've got a handful of teams that I think are probably in a position where they feel like they need to add to get to where they want to be this season. And a couple of those teams are kind of surprising. Like they found themselves in a position where they're like, well, look at us. Like we're a contender now. We need to go and, you know, continue this on and make additions. And I think two of those teams that are the surprises, the Buccaneers, one of them, I know they made the playoffs a year ago, but they've played really well. And they, I know that the score on Monday Night Football indicated that they got blown out by the Ravens, but at least offensively before Chris Godwin left the game, like they were pretty effective. And so I can see the Buccaneers going and trying to make an addition, especially at wide receiver. That would be something, whether it's Cooper Kupp or somebody else, I think that they'll be aggressive in that regard. And also, you know, just knowing in that division that it's theirs basically to lose, I think, you know, probably more so than any other team in the NFC South. I would also put the Chicago Bears in that discussion too. They're 4-2. They're a surprising 4-2 in probably the toughest division in the entire NFL. They got to sit at home last week and watch the battle between the Vikings and the Lions, where both teams looked awesome. And then they also got to watch the Packers beat the Texans, who are a really good team. And so they've got to keep pace. I would put the Bears in that category. And then my third team in the AFC would be the Bengals, because as you've said before, If they can just get to the playoffs, if they can make it to the postseason, then they can be dangerous. But they need help defensively. And so I think that they will be aggressive, and knowing that they're 3-4 and they've won a couple of games here. I think that they can be aggressive, too.
Yeah, I think those are good ones. I would imagine the Bears are probably good because I don't even know what the Bears would
probably. I mean, I think running back is probably a place of need for them.
Yeah, maybe. And those are attainable for sure. I'll tell you, I think the Lions had better scour the markets for a pass rusher with Aiden Hutchinson going down, because the Lions are good enough to win a Super Bowl. But if they can't replicate some of the production from Hutchinson, it's going to be a real problem. I know our guy Brandon Zinner, big Vikings fan, looks to them. If the Giants are going to trade a player like Dexter Lawrence, the interior defensive line, he loves the idea of that move. I think that could be a high impact type of move. I'm curious to see what the Steelers do. And they don't have to do it right now. The Steelers are like the Chiefs, never really interested in paying top dollar for wide receivers. They'd much rather continue to do a great job developing wide receivers. They always have done that well. But boy, if Russell Wilson is really the ticket for them, I mean, maybe Cooper Kupp makes a little sense. And I don't know all these teams' cap situations and what the Rams are willing to do. But as far as being willing to trade high draft capital for a high impact move, other than the Bears, probably, I think every one of these teams we've mentioned ought to be in the market for it, because I think the Chiefs are 6-0. They're going for 3 straight Super Bowls, but the Chiefs have a lot of injuries and a lot of things they're dealing with. Like, if you're another team, if you don't think now's the time, then when is the time, right? Like, when is the time? Because we'll get there. I mean, Baltimore feels like, I let me ask you this, because I asked Paul this. If you were doing a power ranking right now, and you, like, we'd all put the Chiefs ahead of the Ravens, right? Like, we would, because they're 6-0 and they beat them head-to-head. But, man, the Derrick Henry addition, now that he has found a groove, is really, really interesting for them. John Harbaugh is not going to make the same mistake he made in a playoff game a year ago and not run the ball against the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs stopped Derrick Henry in week one. But Derrick Henry, you know, like, they I think, are still the team, even with the Chiefs doing what they've done, until the Chiefs get some guys back. I think you probably, if you're the opposition in the NFL, at least in the AFC, it's probably the Ravens you're trying to stack yourself up against right now.
I think that that's fair. I mean, from a talent perspective, it's all there for the most part for Baltimore. Their defense has been good also, and that's an underrated part.
They could add a defensive player. And they could be better.
I think that's an underrated part of their game. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, everybody can focus in on Derrick Henry for good reason. But kind of quietly, and it's surprising that it's been kind of quietly, Lamar Jackson has started to click also. And
he's the MVP right now.
Well, and I don't think that, not that he didn't play a poor game against the Chiefs, and he really hasn't played many poor games this season at all. He's been fairly consistent, but man, a week ago, not even a week ago, 2 days ago on Monday Night Football, he was outstanding. And those receivers are coming alive. Mark Andrews had a slow start to the season, probably still not playing up to what he feels like he should be playing, but it's things are really coming, rounding into form, I guess, for the Ravens. And I put them, you know, it's even with that division, I know you're real high on the Steelers, and they're fine. I don't mind the Steelers. The Ravens are head and shoulders better than Pittsburgh is.
I don't think they're as good defensively. I mean, they're certainly better offensively, and that's what I mean. The Steelers, if you're looking around, the Steelers making a move to bolster their offense does make sense to me. What the Ravens have started to do lately, and they did a good job pointing this out on Monday Night Football, they've become a really good run-stopping team, which is a bit of a problem when you think about a Chiefs matchup, because you know that's what the Chiefs want to do. Like, all of a sudden, the Ravens have become a really good team at stopping the run. And so if you're going to beat them, you know, and the Buccaneers were throwing, they were slaying Mike Evans and Chris Godwin basically played the whole game, but Mike Evans went down. Remember, before Mike Evans went down, the Buccaneers were right there. Like, they were right there on him. So if you're going to beat the Ravens through the air, think, you know, that's where, okay, that's why kind of maybe the Texans are a good, you know, a good shot to beat them in a postseason game if they could stop the run. Like, it's all there. It's just like, what can you do now? And it's been a really interesting thing in the NFL this year with the injuries being as bad as they've been. It feels like more teams are willing to make moves. And then there's the team we never talk about, we never think about, that's always there in the end, that made a move to get significantly better with what they need, and that's Buffalo. Buffalo, who has James Cook, who's been very effective, who now it looks like Ray Davis, their rookie, has given them another weapon to run the ball. Josh Allen's playing well enough. I think people are sleeping. I think we're sleeping on Buffalo. That's another team that if they went out and made like a move to improve their defense a little bit. Buffalo, like, why are we and this is, and you know this because I've told you 1,000 times on this show, people are sleeping on Buffalo. People are riding off Buffalo too soon. And it's because they lost Steph Diggs. That's it? Like, that's the reason?
That wasn't why I was low on them. I think it was a combination of turnover offensively and taking some time. I thought it would take a little bit of time to have all those pieces gel with Josh Allen, because you basically blew up the wide receiver room and started from scratch. You know, you don't have Gabe Davis, you don't have Steph Diggs. Like, you bring in some other guys. You've got Khalil Shakir, and you've got you know, you draft Keon Coleman. And I thought it would take a little bit of time in that regard for that to come together. It's happened quicker, and now of course you add the reinforcement with Amari Cooper. But really, for me, it was defensively. A year ago, they were an old defensive unit. They were a banged up and often injured defensive unit, and they did make some strides to try to improve that. But I guess what I misinterpreted from the Bills was I thought that they were kind of with this mentality going into this season of, we're kind of in rebuild mode and it's going to take a minute for us to get there outside of Josh Allen. I don't think that maybe that's the way that they started the season or intended it to be, but yeah, that really hasn't been the reality. And I think that they still now feel that they've got an opportunity to continue to contend just with new faces, especially in that division.
The luxury, maybe the greatest luxury of having a great quarterback in the NFL, is you never have to rebuild. You're just always going to be in the mix. You know, think about that. That was so true with Drew Brees. That was so true with Aaron Rodgers over the years. You know, before the very end, that was true with Philip Rivers. Like, some of these great Ben Roethlisberger, some of these great quarterbacks over the years, like, their teams were always in the mix, even if their rosters weren't very good. But I will say this about Buffalo, who, by the way, has the best point differential in the AFC, better than Baltimore. They have beat up on really bad teams, Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville. The Jets aren't bad, I don't think, and that was a close game. But then Tennessee. And they have lost the two games, even though they were on the road back-to-back weeks, Baltimore and Houston. They barely lost to Houston. Baltimore thumped them. So they still got a lot to prove to me. They get a good one this week. I love Buffalo at Seattle. That's one of my favorite games of the week. They'll get Miami with Tua again. They go to the Colts, and then they play the Chiefs before their bye. Their schedule is not easy. It's actually very difficult down the stretch. And so we'll find out about Buffalo. But I think, like, low-key, and it's weird that it's low-key because it was a headline deal, like, Amari Cooper was perfect for them. He's exactly what they needed to put themselves. Their defense has been really good. What they've needed is a playmaker, and they went and they got one. Man, they put their chips in on it. So I think that we don't want to sleep on them either, because they're 5-2 with the best point differential in the AFC. That matters. Even though their schedule's been, you know, fortuitous for that, it still matters. It feels open to me in the NFL. It feels like there are a lot of teams, as we sit here on October 23rd, that could win a Super Bowl. Yes, I would still bet the Chiefs to do it. Yes, they're the odds-on favorite. I'm not going to back away from a defense like that with Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. No chance. But boy, it feels a lot closer than we thought it would before this season started. And the injury thing has happened this year in the NFL. Been a lot of fun.
I actually kind of disagree with that. I think that through 6 or 7 weeks, I think the Chiefs have established themselves. Obviously, they're 6-0, but established themselves as in a position where they are far and away most likely to win another Super Bowl, because they have basically changed their identity midseason and they continue to win. They continue to win.
Yeah.
They've been banged up and they're not at full capacity and full strength, they find ways to win. That, to me, makes them the most dangerous team. And I think while there might be, and there for sure, other talented teams in the league, man, I'm not jumping off the Chiefs at all.
Oh, no, I'm not either. I no chance. What I'm saying is they're not as, to just for me, like when we started the season and we thought Rice and Brown and Pacheco and all these guys were going to be there, I thought they were like a heavy, 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 heavy favorite. I think they're less so, but they're still a favorite. Again, I'm not betting against Mahomes. The same thing we talked about last year. Like Mahomes, Kelsey, with that defense in the postseason, good luck. Especially now that it's very likely it's going through Arrowhead. No, I'm not picking against them, but I am going to acknowledge that there are a lot more teams in the mix than I thought there would be 2 months ago. And that's good. Like I like that. I think that's good for the league. I think it'd make it a lot of fun. There's a lot of good teams this year. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Braun, Bronny, they make their history last night. I probably thought it was a better moment maybe than I thought it was before I saw it. And I've been on board with it all the way. I'm curious to get Tommy's take, who's been apathetic toward it. We'll see if he liked it at all. We'll be back. More Sports Daily. Albrecht and Caster, don't go away.
If you missed Bob and Jeff, you missed this.
That was the best era of baseball, in my opinion.
The 80s? Nothing happened in baseball in the 80s.
Nah, the Cardinals happened.
They bounced the ball off the AstroTurf for plays that would be routine outs.
Really? What do you know about what they did bouncing the ball off the AstroTurf?
Well, I mean, it's science. Players in the 80s were just, eh.
Really?
The 80s just kind of happened. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
You get it.
Bob and Jeff, afternoons at 2 on KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Want to listen to us on the go? Just download the Odyssey app, search KFH. You can find this show. You can find all our great programming. You can find tonight the Chris Kleiman Show right here on KFH. That starts at 7 o'clock or, of course, on the Odyssey app. Tommy, we had Braun and Bronny last night. I wasn't like tuning in to the whole game or anything like that, but I did go find the moment where they both came into the game at the same time. I did find the moment where LeBron kind of hyped up and kind of gave a real quick pep talk to his son. And it was, I thought that was really cool. That was not team. That was like dad looking out for son. Like, you ready for this? Like, I liked it. I thought they did a good job with it. I loved that the Griffies were there. I'm glad they got him in the game. I like seeing historical stuff like that. And it's just like, man, as a dad, it's pretty hard to not think that's good stuff.
I had this realization, and I know I've been apathetic towards Bronny joining the Lakers. And really, like, it's easy to be apathetic because you look at the stat line and he didn't.
Probably not going to do much.
Right? Not very good, you know. So, so I had this realization, though, when this moment was going on, and I still don't particularly care all that much, but I understand what the purpose is now when I didn't understand it before. This is a way for the Lakers to make sure that LeBron stays really engaged. And it's not even like that. And that's been pretty, the whole him staying with the Lakers in general, that's been on the table for a long time as a storyline. But it's even more than that. It's about him being engaged and him being the best version of himself. And if he's got to find, I mean, LeBron has done everything in his career that anybody could ever do, right? He's accomplished everything. He holds all the records. He's won all the championships, MVPs, you name it. He's done it. But this was something yet he hadn't done. And being able to be on the same team with his son, I would imagine, because we saw it last night, there's that potential on the table that the guy is even more locked in than he ever has been, because this is something new. And it's hard to find something new for a guy that's 39 that's played in the league for over two decades.
And who is either the first or second best player anybody's ever seen, depending on how you rank it. And the other thing about LeBron, and I don't follow the cultural side of it as much as I did when I was younger, which is basically not, as far as I know and as far as I've ever been able to tell, LeBron James has always been a world-class dad, like from the get-go. And he continues to do that. And I think you see those moments and it reminds you of that. And the older you get, I do think you appreciate that stuff more, especially if you get the good fortune to be a dad. And so, yeah, I'm in on that storyline this year. I think it's really cool. I don't think it's going to hold the Lakers back in any way from what they will or won't do this season as a team to have Bronny on that roster. And so I've been in on it. It will be very fun to watch. It will be compelling. It will be compelling when inevitably LeBron gets on to Bronny for something he did on the court, just like he would any young player. Like, that stuff's going to be really interesting to see. You know, we had the Olympics to remind us of LeBron's passion for the game. And whatever you think about LeBron, and most of the time people just get annoyed with not the things he's doing on the court. Like, we've been fortunate to have him in the game of basketball. He's so good. And he's been so good for so long. I'm happy to see father-son stuff like that. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I mean, the Lakers aren't going to win anything this year, but that will give us a reason and a storyline to follow in the NBA. I think it's cool. And I think it's cool that the Griffies were there. And I think it's cool that we got to see it, because the likelihood of it happening in any sport are so low. Maybe we'll get to see it with Tiger. Maybe. But I don't know that we're going to have another chance other than that, right? It's not going to happen in football. Basketball is really unlikely. Maybe we get it with Tiger. We got it with Griffey. I don't know. It just seems unlikely. I think it's really cool.
It's fun.
Mike says it's fun. It's a good point. Mike says he'd rather see them play against each other. That actually would be pretty cool. I'll give you that, Mike. Like that would be pretty interesting to see them go head to head. Maybe they will. Maybe LeBron just loves it so much that he'll go somewhere else to win a title, and they will go head to head at some point. That'd be pretty fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we wrap up Sports Daily next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.